Disclaimer. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. I am not a doctor, and this is not medical advice. Peptides and research compounds are not FDA approved for most uses, and they may carry risks that are not fully understood. Always talk to a qualified healthcare professional before starting or stopping any supplement, peptide, medication, or protocol. Never use anything you are allergic to. Never use anything you cannot verify, and always practice safe handling and sterile technique. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Today we are talking about HKCU, one of the most underrated copper peptides in the entire peptide world. If you've been hearing about copper peptides for skin, hair, healing, anti-aging, and regeneration, you've probably heard of GHKCU. That one gets all the attention. But HKCU is the quiet little sibling that deserves way more respect. And if you've ever wondered what HKCU actually is, what it does, why people use it, how it compares to GHKCU, and whether it can be used as an injectable or subcutaneous compound, this episode is going to answer all of that in plain English. So, let's get into it. First, what is HKCU? HKCU stands for alanine, histidine, lysine, copper. That's the peptide sequence. It is a tripeptide, meaning it is made of three amino acids, alanine, histidine, and lysine. Then it binds to copper, typically copper 2+, also called Cu2. So HKCU is a copper-binding peptide, meaning it acts like a delivery system and signaling molecule for copper. Now, copper is not just some random mineral. Copper is a major cofactor in the body. It plays roles in collagen production, elastin structure, antioxidant defense, tissue repair, and even neurological processes. But here's the important part. Copper on its own is not always useful or safe in excess. Free copper can create oxidative stress. That's why copper peptides are so interesting, because the peptide acts like a controlled carrier. It binds copper and delivers it in a more biologically intelligent way. So instead of just dumping copper into the system, the peptide tells the body what to do with it. That's the magic of copper peptides. And HKCU is one of those. Now, where does HKCU naturally come from? HKCU is found naturally in human plasma, meaning it is present in the blood. It has been identified as a naturally occurring peptide in the body, and it appears to be involved in tissue remodeling and regeneration. And when you see something naturally occurring in the body, that usually makes researchers pay attention because it often means the body already uses it as a signaling molecule. And that's exactly what copper peptides are. They are signaling peptides. They don't just add something. They tell your body to activate certain pathways. Now, what does HKCU actually do? Let's break this down into the major categories. Number one, skin regeneration and anti-aging. HKCU is most famous for its potential effects on skin quality. And when I say skin quality, I mean things like fine lines, wrinkles, skin thickness, firmness, elasticity, hydration, and overall tone. HKCU is believed to support collagen synthesis. It is also believed to support elastin production. And it may help regulate matrix metalloproteinases, also called MMPs. Those are enzymes involved in breaking down extracellular matrix. Now, let's keep that simple. Your skin is basically a scaffold. Collagen and elastin are like the structure and the stretch. As you age, collagen decreases, elastin becomes disorganized, and the skin becomes thinner and looser. Copper peptides are believed to help push the body back toward rebuilding that scaffold. And HKCU is considered a pro-repair peptide, meaning it is associated with regeneration. Now, is it guaranteed?
No.
But mechanistically, it makes sense. And in practice, many people report that copper peptides improve skin texture, reduce inflammation, and improve the glow effect.
Not glow like shiny.
Glow like healthier skin. Number two, wound healing and tissue repair. HKCU has been studied in the context of wound healing. Copper is essential for angiogenesis, which is the formation of new blood vessels. This is extremely important because if you can't get blood flow into an injured area, you can't heal efficiently. So copper peptides may support healing by improving the signaling environment for regeneration. HKCU may also support fibroblast activity. Fibroblasts are the cells that produce collagen and connective tissue. So if you want healing, you need fibroblasts working properly. This is why copper peptides are popular for scars, post-procedure skin recovery, and even microneedling routines. And yes, AHKCU is often used topically in skincare for that reason. Number 3, hair growth and follicle support. This is another huge one. Copper peptides have been associated with hair follicle stimulation and scalp health. Now, let's be real. Hair loss is complicated. Hair loss can involve hormones, DHT, inflammation, autoimmune conditions, nutritional deficiencies, stress, thyroid issues, and genetics. But copper peptides may support the environment of the scalp. They may reduce inflammation. They may support blood flow. They may support follicle cycling. And they may support structural proteins around the follicle. Many people use copper peptides in hair serums, scalp sprays, and topical blends. EHKCU is less famous than GHKCU in the hair world, but it still belongs in the conversation. Because AHKCU is still a copper peptide with regenerative signaling potential. Number 4, antioxidant activity and inflammation reduction. Copper is part of a major antioxidant enzyme called superoxide dismutase. That's SOD. And SOD is one of the body's key defenses against oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is one of the major drivers of aging, chronic inflammation, and tissue breakdown. So copper peptides may indirectly support antioxidant defense. AHKCU may also modulate inflammatory signaling, meaning it may help shift the body away from chronic inflammation and toward repair. Now, I want to pause here. People love to throw around the word anti-inflammatory. But inflammation is not always bad. Inflammation is how the body heals. The problem is chronic inflammation. Inflammation that doesn't shut off. Copper peptides are thought to help regulate and normalize the healing process. So instead of the body being stuck in an inflammatory loop, it can move into regeneration. That's the theory. Number 5, anti-aging beyond skin. Some people call AHKCU an anti-aging peptide, but not in the same way people call Epithalon anti-aging or MoC anti-aging. AHKCU is more like a tissue-level anti-aging peptide. It's not about mitochondria. It's not about telomeres. It's about connective tissue, extracellular matrix, repair signaling, and regeneration. So if you're the kind of person focused on skin, joints, tendons, scars, hair, and overall tissue recovery, copper peptides belong in your world. Now, let's talk about the big question. How is AHKCU different from GHKCU? This is where people get confused. GHKCU is a copper peptide made of glycine, histidine, lysine, plus copper. AHKCU is alanine, histidine, lysine, plus copper. So the difference is the first amino acid. GHK is glycine. AHK is alanine. That sounds like a tiny difference. But in peptide biology, a small change in amino acid sequence can change binding, absorption, receptor affinity, and biological signaling. GHKCU is the most researched copper peptide in the skincare and peptide world. It has a massive amount of data behind it compared to AHKCU. It is strongly associated with collagen remodeling, skin repair, and gene expression changes related to tissue regeneration. AHKCU has research too, but not nearly as much mainstream attention. Some people believe AHKCU may be more stable in certain formulas. Some believe it penetrates differently. Some believe it may have slightly different tissue signaling effects. But the truth is, in the real world, both are copper peptides used for similar goals. And they both have a strong overlap in use cases. Now, if someone asked me to simplify it, I would say it like this. GHKCU is the famous one. AHKCU is the sleeper one. GHKCU is the one everyone starts with. AHKCU is the one people explore when they want something slightly different, or they want to rotate, or they want to combine. Now, can you stack AHKCU and GHKCU? Some people do. But you need to be cautious. Because stacking copper peptides increases copper exposure. And too much copper, especially if you are not balancing zinc and other minerals, can become problematic. Copper and zinc are like a seesaw. If copper goes too high, zinc can go low. If zinc goes too high, copper can go low. So when people start playing with copper peptides long term, I always tell them to at least be aware of mineral balance. You don't need to become a scientist. But you do need to be aware that copper is not something you want to overload chronically. Now, let's talk about topical use. Because most people are using HKCU topically. HKCU is commonly used in serums, creams, and skin blends. It is often marketed for wrinkles, collagen support, skin tightening, and improving overall skin tone. Some people use it for stretch marks. Some use it for acne scarring. Some use it for surgical scars. Some use it for microneedling recovery. And it is also used in hair products for scalp support. Topical HKCU is usually considered the most common and the lowest risk approach because it's localized. It's applied externally. And dosing is not as extreme. But here's something important. Copper peptides can sometimes cause irritation. Not always, but sometimes. Some people get redness, dryness, or a tingling sensation. And some people experience what they call a purging effect, where the skin temporarily looks worse before it looks better. Now, whether that is a real biological purge or just irritation is debated. But either way, if someone is new to copper peptides, they should start slow. Every other day.
Or a small amount.
Or a lower concentration. Because copper peptides are active. These are not just fancy moisturizers. Now, what about injectable HKCU? This is where things get spicy. Because in the peptide world, a lot of people want to inject everything. And I understand why. Injecting peptides can bypass digestion, can increase systemic exposure, and can make people feel like they are using a more powerful protocol. But just because something can be injected does not mean it should be injected. HKCU is sometimes sold as a lyophilized powder in vials, similar to other peptides. Some people reconstitute it with bacteriostatic water. And yes, some people use it subcutaneously. Sub-Q. But we need to talk about reality. There is not a huge body of standardized clinical dosing protocols for injectable HKCU like there is for peptides such as sermorelin, tesamorelin, or even thymosin alpha-1. Most of the mainstream use of copper peptides is topical. So injectable use is more experimental and research-based. Now, what are the reasons people choose injectable HKCU? The main reason is systemic tissue repair. They want it for healing injuries. They want it for skin improvement from the inside out. They want it for recovery. They want it for connective tissue support. And some people use it in combination protocols with BPC, 157, TB, 500, GHKCU, or other repair peptides. Now, I'm going to say something important. Copper peptides can sting when injected. Some people report a burning sensation or irritation at the injection site. That is not uncommon. Copper peptides are not always comfortable subcutaneously. And if someone injects it and gets redness, swelling, itching, or a lump, that doesn't automatically mean infection. It may simply be local irritation. But you still need to treat injection site reactions seriously. Because you never want to ignore the possibility of contamination or improper technique. Now, another concern with injectable copper peptides is systemic copper accumulation. If you are using copper peptides frequently and you are also taking copper supplements, eating a copper-heavy diet, or you have genetic issues with copper metabolism, you could theoretically run into problems. Copper toxicity can cause nausea, headaches, fatigue, mood issues, and neurological symptoms. In extreme cases, copper overload can be dangerous. So again, this is not a peptide you just casually blast. Now, is HKCU better subcutaneously or intramuscularly? Most people who inject it use subcutaneous injections. Sub-Q, usually in the belly fat area, or sometimes in other subcutaneous regions. Intramuscular injection is less common. Not impossible, but less common. Sub-Q is generally the easiest route for peptides. But it does not mean it is the best route for every compound. Now, does HKCU work better topically or subcutaneously? That depends on the goal. If your goal is skincare, texture, wrinkles, tone, and hairline improvement, topical is usually the first line. If your goal is systemic healing, deeper tissue repair, or you're stacking it with other recovery peptides, some people experiment with sub-Q. but the topical route is far more established. Now, what about dosing? This is where I have to be careful, because dosing can vary widely depending on concentration, vial size, and the person's goals. In the peptide community, you will see people using HKCU in microgram to milligram ranges. Some people do very low dosing. Some people do higher dosing. Some people use it daily. Some people use it 2 to 3 times a week. And some people only use it in cycles. What I can tell you is this. Copper peptides are not like GLP-1 peptides. You don't titrate them like semaglutide or tirzepatide. Copper peptides are more like regenerative signaling compounds. They tend to work better when used consistently, but not excessively. And the goal is remodeling, not stimulation. So in general, many users prefer moderate dosing, moderate frequency, and cycling. Now, if someone is using it topically, the dosing is basically how much you apply. If someone is using it injectable, the dosing becomes a real math problem because you have to calculate milligrams per milliliter and how many units you are drawing. And if you get that wrong, you can overdose easily. So this is not beginner-level peptide math. Now, let's talk about how HKCU might actually work at the cellular level. This is where it gets really cool. Copper peptides are believed to influence gene expression related to tissue remodeling. They may increase collagen synthesis. They may increase glycosaminoglycans, which are important for hydration and skin volume. They may increase growth factors. They may support angiogenesis. They may influence fibroblast activity. And they may modulate inflammatory cytokines. If you don't know what any of that means, don't worry. Here's the simplified version. HKCU may tell your body to repair and rebuild. It may tell your skin to act younger. It may tell your tissue to regenerate. And it may help create a better environment for healing. That's the concept. Now, let's talk about benefits people report. Because theory is one thing, but real-world experiences matter too. People who use HKCU often report improved skin texture. They report smoother skin. They report improved firmness. They report reduced redness and irritation over time, after the initial adjustment period. They report better healing of acne scars. They report improved hair thickness. They report reduced shedding. They report faster healing of cuts, scratches, and procedures. And some people report that their skin just looks more alive, more even, more healthy. Now, injectable users sometimes report improved recovery from workouts, less joint discomfort, better healing of tendons and connective tissue, and improved overall tissue resilience. But again, those are anecdotal reports, not medical claims. Now, what are potential side effects? Let's go through them. Topical side effects can include redness, dryness, burning, itching, irritation, and breakouts, especially if used at too high of a concentration too quickly. Some people also notice their skin temporarily becomes more sensitive. Now, injectable side effects can include burning at injection site, swelling, redness, lump formation, and irritation. Systemic side effects can include nausea, headache, fatigue, and potentially mineral imbalance issues if copper accumulates. And the biggest risk with any injectable peptide is contamination, improper mixing, improper storage, and poor sterile technique. Because infection is always the number one concern. Now, another important thing. Copper peptides may not combine well with certain skincare ingredients at the same time. For example, strong acids, strong vitamin C, retinoids, exfoliating acids. Because copper peptides can be destabilized in certain environments. And they can also cause irritation when layered with aggressive actives. So if someone is using HKCU topically, I usually recommend keeping it simple. Copper peptide serum at night. Moisturizer. Sunscreen during the day. Then on separate nights, you can use retinol or acids. But you don't need to stack everything at once. Now, what about HKCU and microneedling? This is a huge topic. Because copper peptides are popular with microneedling enthusiasts. But there is controversy. Some people say copper peptides are amazing after microneedling because they support healing. Other people say you should not apply copper peptides immediately after microneedling because it could cause irritation or too much absorption. So, what's the best approach? The safest approach is usually to wait. Wait at least 24 hours after microneedling before applying active peptides. Use only sterile saline or basic healing products immediately after. Then add copper peptides later. Because microneedling increases penetration dramatically. And if you push something too deep too fast, you can cause irritation, inflammation, or even hyperpigmentation. So copper peptides can be incredible in a microneedling routine, but timing matters. Now let's talk about HKCU and hyperpigmentation. This is interesting. Some people report copper peptides help with skin tone and pigmentation over time. Others report they can cause temporary darkening if used improperly. So if someone is prone to melasma or hyperpigmentation, they should start slow and monitor their response. Now, can HKCU be used for anti-aging injections like mesotherapy? Some aesthetic practitioners use copper peptides in mesotherapy blends, but that is usually done in a clinical setting. And if someone is doing that at home, they need to be extremely cautious, because the risk of infection goes up when you start doing intradermal injections. Now, another question people ask is this. Does HKCU help with libido? Not directly. Copper peptides are not libido peptides. They are tissue peptides. Now, could better confidence from better skin and hair improve libido? Sure. But biologically, HKCU is not like PT-141. It is not like Kespeptin. It is not like oxytocin-related pathways. It's a repair compound. So if someone is using HKCU expecting sexual enhancement, they are probably using the wrong tool. Now, does HKCU help with fat loss? No, not directly. This is not a metabolic peptide. This is not a GLP-1. This is not a growth hormone secretagogue. This is not MOSE. It may improve body composition indirectly by improving tissue health and recovery, but it is not a fat loss peptide. Now, does HKCU help with muscle building? Not directly. But again, tissue recovery can support training consistency. And consistency is what builds muscle. So you could argue that it supports the environment, but it is not anabolic. Now, let's talk about cycling HKCU. In the peptide community, many people prefer to cycle copper peptides. For example, using it for 4 to 8 weeks, then taking a break. Or using it 5 days on, 2 days off. Or using it 2 to 3 times per week long term. There is no universal perfect schedule. But cycling makes sense because copper peptides are remodeling agents. You want to give the body time to respond. And you don't want to overload copper signaling. Now, what about mixing HKCU? If you have a lyophilized vial, you typically reconstitute it with bacteriostatic water. Some people use 1 milliliter. Some use 2 milliliters. Some use 3. But the more water you add, the lower the concentration. So your dosing units change. And this is where mistakes happen. Because if someone reconstitutes differently than someone else, the same units on a syringe mean totally different doses. So you cannot copy someone's dose unless you match their exact reconstitution volume. Now, storage. HKCU, like most peptides, should be stored properly. Lyophilized powder is usually stored in the refrigerator or freezer depending on the supplier recommendation. Once reconstituted, it should be stored in the refrigerator, and it should be protected from light. Copper peptides can degrade. Heat can degrade peptides. Light can degrade peptides. Time can degrade peptides. So if someone is using a peptide that has been sitting warm in a drawer for months, they may not be getting what they think they're getting. Now, what about HKCU stability compared to GHKCU? Some people claim HKCU is more stable. Some claim GHKCU is more stable. But stability depends on the formulation, the pH, the carrier, and the storage. So it is hard to give a universal answer. But I will say this. Copper peptides are generally sensitive. So always store them properly. Now let's talk about who might benefit most from HKCU. In my opinion, the best candidates are people focused on skin aging, fine lines, wrinkles,
skin thinning,
crepey skin, post-weight loss loose skin, dryness, poor texture, people with scars, acne scars, stretch marks, post-surgical scars, people recovering from cosmetic procedures, people with hair thinning, people with scalp inflammation, people who want to build a strong regenerative skin routine, and people who are stacking peptides for recovery, healing, and tissue repair. Now, who should be cautious? Anyone with known copper metabolism disorders. Anyone with liver issues. Anyone with Wilson's disease concerns. Anyone with unknown chronic inflammation conditions. Anyone who reacts strongly to topicals. Anyone who is pregnant or breastfeeding. And anyone who is already taking copper supplements or has high copper intake. Also, anyone who is prone to severe skin irritation should patch test topical copper peptides first. Because if your face is already sensitive, copper peptides can either be amazing or too much. Now, another question. Does AHKCU cause hair shedding at first? Some people report shedding when starting hair growth compounds. This can happen because follicles shift phases. But it is not guaranteed. And shedding can also happen from stress, hormones, or unrelated factors. So if someone starts AHKCU and experiences shedding, it does not automatically mean the peptide caused it. But it's something to watch. Now, what about combining AHKCU with other peptides? This is where it gets fun. Some people combine copper peptides with BPC-157. Because BPC is known for gut and tissue repair signaling. Some combine it with TB-500. Because TB-500 is known for actin regulation and healing support. Some combine it with GHKCU. Some combine it with collagen supplements. Some combine it with hyaluronic acid topically. And some combine it with growth hormone secretagogues like sermorelin or ipamorelin because they want systemic repair plus growth hormone support. Now, do you need to stack?
No.
AHKCU can be used alone. But stacking is popular because people want synergistic effects. Just remember, stacking is also stacking risks. So if someone is new, I always recommend starting with one compound at a time, then adding more later. Because if you start five peptides at once and something goes wrong, you will not know what caused it. Now, let's talk about realistic expectations. This is so important. Copper peptides are not Botox. They are not filler. They are not instant. They are remodeling, meaning the results are slow. The results are subtle, and the results build over time. Most people who see good results notice them over weeks and months, not overnight. And often the biggest compliment you get from copper peptides is not someone saying, "Wow, you look 10 years younger." It's someone saying, "Your skin looks really healthy." Or, "You're glowing." Or, "What are you doing differently?" That's the copper peptide vibe. Now, what about using AHKCU under the eyes? Many people do, but the under-eye area is delicate. So you need to start with low concentration, small amounts, and monitor for irritation. If you get puffiness or redness, back off. Now, what about using AHKCU on the neck?
Yes.
Neck and chest are great areas for copper peptides because those areas age faster and often get neglected. Now, what about hands? Hands are another amazing area for copper peptides. Hands show age quickly, and copper peptides may help with skin thickness and texture. So if someone is building an anti-aging routine, don't forget the hands. Now, what about AHKCU for stretch marks? Stretch marks are basically dermal scarring. And copper peptides may support collagen remodeling. So yes, AHKCU can be used for stretch marks. But stretch marks take a long time to improve. And some stretch marks will never fully disappear. They can fade. They can soften. They can improve. But it is not magic. Now, what about AHKCU for cellulite? Cellulite is complicated. It involves connective tissue structure, fat compartments, circulation, hormones, and genetics. Copper peptides may support connective tissue quality, so they may help the appearance slightly. But again, not a miracle. Now, what about AHKCU for acne? Copper peptides may support healing, but if someone has active acne, they need to be careful, because some topical copper peptide products have heavy carriers that can clog pores, and sometimes the skin can react. So if someone is acne prone, use a lightweight serum, not a heavy cream. And start slow. Now, what about using HKCU with tretinoin? This is a common question. Tretinoin is powerful. Copper peptides are active. If you layer them together, you may get irritation. The safer approach is alternating nights. Copper peptide one night, tretinoin the next night, and always moisturize. Now, sunscreen. If you are using any regenerative skincare routine, sunscreen is non-negotiable. Because you can build collagen all day long, but if you are frying your face in UV radiation, you are losing the battle. So, if someone wants to maximize HKCU benefits, sunscreen is a must. Now, let's talk about one more important topic. Copper peptides and the myth of too much collagen. Some people worry that copper peptides will cause fibrosis or thickening. That is not a common outcome in topical use. But any compound that affects remodeling could theoretically cause imbalance if abused. That's why I always say, more is not always better. Copper peptides are about signaling, not blasting. Now, what about HKCU and immune function? Copper does play a role in immune health, and copper peptides may support wound healing and immune response. But HKCU is not primarily used as an immune peptide. It is not thymosin alpha-1. It is not thymulin. It is not LL37. So if someone is looking for immune system modulation, copper peptides are not the main tool. They are more about tissue repair. Now, if you're thinking, okay, this sounds amazing. Why doesn't everyone use it? Here's the truth. Copper peptides are slower. They require patience. And the benefits are often subtle, but meaningful. And also, copper peptides are not as trendy as GLP-1 peptides right now. Everyone wants rapid fat loss. Everyone wants appetite suppression. Everyone wants immediate results. Copper peptides are like the long-game peptide. They are the slow, steady builder. And people who use them consistently often become obsessed. Because once you see the difference in skin texture and healing, you start realizing this is not hype. This is biology. Now, let's talk about what a beginner might do with HKCU. If you are a beginner and you want to try HKCU, a simple approach is topical. Start with a low-concentration serum. Use it 2 to 3 nights a week. Moisturize. Watch for irritation. Then slowly increase frequency. And take pictures every 2 weeks, because your brain will not notice gradual changes. Pictures will. If you are using it for hair, apply it to the scalp. Massage it in. Stay consistent. And give it at least 8 to 12 weeks before you judge it. Hair is slow. Now, for injectable use, that is a more advanced topic. And it requires sterile technique, proper dosing calculations, and common sense. Because injectable copper peptides are not beginner-friendly. And injection site reactions are common. So if someone wants injectable HKCU, they should research deeply, go slow, and treat it with respect. Now, is HKCU worth doing a podcast episode about? Absolutely. Because copper peptides are a foundational category. They are not just a trend. They are part of the regeneration and longevity conversation. And HKCU is one of those compounds that sits right in the middle of skincare, biohacking, healing, and anti-aging. It's one of those peptides that feels like it belongs in a skin and repair stack. Now, let's do a quick recap before we close out. HKCU is a copper peptide made of alanine, histidine, lysine, and copper. It is naturally found in human plasma. It is believed to support collagen production, elastin structure, wound healing, skin regeneration, and possibly hair follicle health. It is most commonly used topically. Some people also use it subcutaneously, but injectable use is more experimental and carries more risk. Potential side effects include skin irritation, injection site reactions, and possible copper overload if abused. It may pair well with other healing peptides like BPC-157 and TB-500, but stacking should be done carefully. And most importantly, it is not an instant gratification compound. It is a slow remodeling peptide. But if you use it consistently and intelligently, it can become one of the most powerful long-term tools in a skin and recovery routine. Now, before we wrap up, one last thing. A lot of people in the peptide world chase flashy compounds. They want the newest thing, the strongest thing, the most aggressive thing. But peptides like AHKCU are what I call foundational, because you are working with repair biology. You are working with collagen biology. You are working with tissue integrity. And that's not just beauty. That's longevity. That's resilience. That's healing. That's the stuff that keeps you functional as you age. So if you're building a serious peptide protocol for anti-aging, skincare, or recovery, AHKCU deserves a spot on your radar. Disclaimer. Always consult a qualified healthcare provider before using peptides or research compounds. Peptides may carry serious risks, including allergic reactions, contamination, infection, improper dosing, and unknown long-term effects. Nothing in this podcast is intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. This is for education only. Thanks for listening. Keep learning and stay curious.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.